what's everybody? This is Ringside Report MMA. Tonight on the show, we preview UFC Vegas 25. We watch PFL 2 and so much more going on in the world of MMA. Let's do it. Let's go. Let's go. Let's do it. What are we doing here? What's going on guys? How you all doing?
What's up, Sunshine?
Man, I almost missed the countdown. You see that? I was going to get another cup of coffee, and I walked in just as the show was starting. I almost missed it. I almost missed the show. Whew, right on time. How you guys doing?
We're doing
great, and happy you made it, because we were saying, like, we need you to carry this show, so, like, you're the man. You can't go away now.
That's right. I am Dave. I am here with you. I'm with you guys all the time. I'm here every Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Basically, any weekday that isn't Tuesday, I am live here on the Ringside Report Network. I was here on Monday after Raw, Wednesday after Dynamite. That's last night with my buddies Johnny and Glenn. Tonight, of course, with my boys Freddie and AJ for the MMA show. And then tomorrow, back again after SmackDown with Johnny North. Shout out to everybody on the chat and watching. Franco, Brooklyn Lizard, Sensible Fury, Lauren Cronish, Dino Stakes. Shout out to everybody watching. We appreciate you. Become a member of the team. Don't forget to become a member of the YouTube channel. Don't forget to like this video. Subscribe to the channel. Leave a comment. When you subscribe, you click that bell. You get those notifications every time we are on. Hit us up on Super Chat as well. Guys, we are excited. We are pumped. I am. I don't know about you guys. Freddie, I don't think, is that pumped. AJ's always pumped, and he's not sure why. So it's a nice balance. You know, I'm pumped because we get to see my man Jiří Procházka on Saturday night, and I love this guy. I think he's tremendous. I think he's going to be a big-time star in the UFC, could be a future champion, and I'm looking forward to seeing him in action against Dominic Reyes on Saturday. So I'm pumped about that. Freddie rarely pumped. Hard to get Freddie pumped, and that's why we love Freddie, because, you know, when Freddie's pumped, you know it's exciting. You know, when Freddie's actually excited about a fight, you know it's a big deal. This one, it's a fight night. It's not a pay-per-view. I understand why Freddie's not super hyped about this event on Saturday. And AJ's just excited, running around like a chicken without a head, just happy to be involved in fighting, just loving it. You're a happy guy, AJ, and that's fun too.
Happy
and I love
lucky,
it.
Man. Like, happy that's, Gilmore.
That's right, and we'll see how lucky you are tonight.
Did you see that video, by the way?
What video?
You didn't see that? With Adam Sandler, the whole thing with him being told that he had to leave IHOP because he was waiting in line and he didn't want to wait 30 minutes, and they caught it all, and that whole story, man. Check it out.
Okay. Fred, do you know what
he's
talking
about? There's no privilege anymore. You didn't hear about that? No. Well, check out IHOP, Adam Sandler, you know, not waiting in line. There's no more privilege, bud.
Is that recent or it happened like 10 years ago?
No, just recent, bud. Just recent. Like in the last days. IHOP, man. Best pancake house. IHOP.
Okay. All right. Well, I didn't see that. I don't know what you're talking about. But, yeah, I don't even know why you were talking about that. Happy-go-lucky, Happy Gilmore, Adam Sandler,
Gilmore,
IHOP.
Man.
That's the connection. That's where you went.
You
see, that's your brain. There's like a pinball machine. It's like,
boom, boom, boom. That's it, man. Jackpot.
Well.
What's up, guys? We missed Freddie last week.
Yeah,
hey,
Freddie is back.
There.
Good to see Freddie again.
They're actually blaming you, Freddie. They're blaming you on Saturday.
What's going on?
Was what that was
you,
that?
I don't know. But
no, what I don't have. Somebody have a parrot in their house?
Freddie, you all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
Freddie, okay.
Is my sound okay? Because production is saying my sound is loud.
Yeah, I think maybe it was a little hot, but I think we lowered it and it was better now. I think it's better
perfect.
Better now, production.
Thumbs
team?
Up, bud.
Yeah, we'll see. Give me the thumbs up, production, and let me know if we're better. All right, so we got UFC Vegas 25 coming up on Saturday. Jiří Procházka versus Dominic Reyes. This is a big fight in the light heavyweight division. The rest of the card is happening, and we'll talk about it. I'll try to give you some winners, try to give you some advantages to go over to bet99.com with. I have been very lucky this week. I won 2 sneaker raffles, so I'm assuming that my picks will be lucky. My picks will be lucky as well. I won Jordan 3s and 4s this week. What's next? 5s? 6s? Who knows? We're not here to talk about sneakers, though. We're here to talk about the UFC. UFC 261 went down on Saturday night. Tremendous pay-per-view. Fred, you weren't on the watch-along. You had some renovations being done in your house. You weren't able to join us on Saturday night. But you would have loved it, man, because, you know, the fights were over before 12:30. We had 3 title fights. Nothing went into the third round. Everything finished either in the first or second round on the pay-per-view. Looking back, it was one of the most exciting, crazy UFC pay-per-views ever. It was very good. It was a lot of fun. Seeing Masvidal get knocked out by Kamaru Usman, incredible knockout. The Rose Namajunas head kick on Weili Zhang. The crucifix from Valentina Shevchenko just pounding on Jessica Andrade to force the referee to intervene. Chris Weidman's leg snapping in half after 1 kick in 17 seconds. And that other guy, the Australian dude, Jimmy Crute, whose leg also kind of buckled on him in the first round of the fight. And he almost survived, landing several takedowns in the last few seconds. Like, his leg was done, and then he landed a bunch of takedowns on Anthony Smith and actually was on top and looked good when the round came to an end. The problem was he couldn't walk. He could take a guy down, but he couldn't really walk back to his corner or walk back into the fight, so the referee stopped it. Incredible night of fights, though. It was really crazy. It was really a lot of fun on Saturday night.
Dave, think about it. The whole, like, we were talking about you, Freddie. Like Dave said, it was the perfect fight night for Freddie. And the thing is that it was a whole night of just TKOs and KOs. Like, it was insane, man. Like, it just was a really bizarre and gruesome card in all aspects. But the bottom line, man, there was, like, one belt that was handed over, one busted leg in half that came back with karma. We had that first leg with Crute. I mean, it was just insane. It was just, you know, I don't even know how to explain it. People are still talking about it. People are saying exactly the same thing. This has to be probably the best UFC card ever. And you know what? It was great for the UFC. Being the first time that they had a packed crowd in there, I think it was like 17,000, Dave, whatever it was. But, man, you got to see, like, a crowd coming on and, like, booing Weili Zhang, cheering on Rose. I mean, that affects a fighter. And I'm telling you, man, I think that could have been, like, maybe the icing on the cake for Weili, because this fight had everything. And it even had history. Did you know that history was made in this UFC card? Did you know that? That Uriah Hall is the only fighter in UFC history right now to be a guy who's won a fight without throwing a strike. Insane. Oh,
that's interesting. Yep. By TKO, too.
Yeah, I did read that.
Fred, yeah. Fred, so, I mean, now, AJ's very excited about the card. I'm excited about the card. Now, did you see it?
I saw the highlights. I didn't watch it live because I wasn't home, and I didn't want to bother everybody, but I did see the highlights. That Usman knockout was gorgeous, like a Kamaru Usman right now. Like, he's in the discussion as pound for pound the best fighter in the UFC. And that knockout of Masvidal was super impressive. Rose reclaiming her title, that was great also. Great story. And Valentina, well, Valentina's one of the best, like, she's in the discussion of greatest female fighter ever. It's probably Amanda, but Valentina's probably right behind her. So it was a great night for the champions. I only saw the highlights, but hey, they were great highlights. And as you said, all the fights went pretty quick. So highlights is pretty much all I needed to see.
Yeah, that's true. You really didn't need to watch the whole pay-per-view. You could just see the highlights and be good. It was fun to watch, though. I will say that. It was fun. No, it's not quite the same. But it was fun to watch the pay-per-view and live those finishes and those experiences live, and to do it here live with you guys on the Ringside Report Network on the live watch along. It was a lot of fun. It was fun. It was a good night of fights. It ended quickly, and it was wild. All of our parlays got busted. I think by Chris Weidman. I think we all took Uriah Hall to lose in that fight,
I had Jimmy
and he didn't.
Crute.
Oh, there you go. You had Crute, and AJ and I had Weidman. Overall, we did pretty well, I think. Fred, you had Rose to win, I think. AJ and I both picked Zhang Wei Li, but we all had Kamaru Usman to win. We all had Valentina to win, and we'll see who we have on Saturday night, but we'll try to give you some more winners. It was, you know, it was a 50-50 night for us here as far as the picks went, but, you know, it doesn't sting as much when the event is so good, and the event was really good on Saturday.
Awesome.
It was a lot of fun to watch. Usman looking great. Usman apparently is going to fight Kobe Covington next. I think that's the fight to make. That makes a lot of sense. Dana White is in agreement. That makes sense, right? Usman versus Kobe.
Yeah,
the last fight was so good. It was so close. Like, it makes sense to me
rounds.
To do it again. Yeah.
Look, Kobe had two rounds out of that last fight in 2019. And if anybody was close to handing a loss to Usman, that was the fight. The thing is that Usman, if you look at him fighting on last Saturday, I mean, this guy was incredible. Everybody thought he was going to go to his wrestling and just basically manhandle him. We said the same thing, that once he gets, like, the top game, it's going to be done. But really what it came down to is that, you know, ever since he's been working with Whitman, you can see Coach Whitman, you can see the guy has gotten so much better. The guy's at a different level of fighting, and his striking game has gotten so much better. And what he did on Saturday was literally a clinic, in my opinion. I mean, you can say what you want, but Masvidal didn't even look like he was in the same category level as Usman. And when Fred was saying that he's regarded as the number one, I think now, I think he's got a point, man. I don't think there's anybody out there that can really challenge this guy. Look, even if Colby comes back, who's going to be a lot better than he was in 2019, and we saw that in his last fights, even fighting with Usman, he did so well that he took two rounds. Maybe some people say three rounds. But could he do a better version of Kobe against a much better version of Usman? I don't think so. I mean, look at the guys he had in his corner. He had Ngannou in his corner. You know, he had Whitman. He had, like, the guy is, like, he is the George St. Pierre of today, man. Usman is that guy, man. 18, dude. How can you say anything more? It was impressive. It was impressive.
It was amazing.
You're on the bandwagon.
Yeah, I mean, how could you not be, though? How could you not be?
Yeah, the guy is great.
Smashing through everybody, right?
No, he's great. Yeah. And the matchup with Kobe makes sense. I think Kobe is clearly the number one contender. Their first fight was excellent. I think the biggest difference in that fight was once Kobe injured his jaw. That's where Usman really, like, took over. But it was a great fight, and a rematch is warranted for that. So I'm down with that. I hope it happens soon. And Usman, like I said, he enters the discussion of pound for pound best fighter right now, like current pound for pound best fighter, and he enters the conversation of welterweight greats. Like, so he might be number one by very soon. A lot of people are very impressed by him, me included, and props to him. And Usman is a star. I'm just gonna say, I love Kobe having this shot because we're gonna get a lot of trash talk. I'm always down for.
You already started
Kobe trash talk. He called him already Marty Juiceman, CEO of EPO. I'm hoping for a lot more of that, man, because I'm down for the CEO of EPO.
Listen,
yeah, he's
the only
he's
guy
going
that wasn't
at,
impressed.
He's going at Kamaru hard, right? Yeah, go ahead, AJ.
I was gonna say, guys, the only guy that wasn't impressed with last Saturday's fight on Usman was Kobe. He said he was not impressed at all. Like, he looked tired in the first round. He had heavy hands. Like, he goes, he doesn't know what to expect. He goes, when we meet again, I'm going to show him what Kobe is. Kobe is the best fighter of all time. He's the greatest, and it's going to happen. Listen, man, Freddie's right, man. We want to see that fight because Kobe's going to trash talk. He already started. Everybody in the world was like, Usman is, like, number one, but to Kobe, I'm not impressed. So, you know, it's going to be an exciting fight. I think there's going to be a lot of action, but I don't know. Listen, right now, if we're talking today, there's no way I can see Kobe beating Usman. But you know what? You never know what's going to happen closer to the fight. You know, we'll see the training camps, and then we'll get a better idea. But right now, man, Usman is on the long ride, and, you know, he's going to be another great man. Like I said, he is the George St. Pierre of today.
Yeah, he is amazing. He's the best, and I think he's getting better. I don't see Kobe being able to mess with him right now. I really don't. I don't think anybody touches him at 170 pounds for, you know, a little while. He is clearly the best in the division, and now he's just going through the same challengers again. I'd like to see him do something different, but I'm not really sure what. Him against Israel Adesanya would be interesting, but I think they're friends and they don't really want to fight each other. I think Usman just stays and continues to dominate at 170. But I really think he is getting better. Like, this was a guy who would, you know, hit hard but mostly wrestle you. And now he's knocking you out with punches standing up. Like, Trevor Whitman is a hell of a coach, and you could tell the difference that this guy makes. This guy's been in the game for a long time. Like, GSP worked with this guy. He was part of, you know, he was working with Nate Marquardt back in the day, and Rashad Evans, and George worked with him, and all sorts of guys have worked with him throughout the years in MMA. He's been in the game for several years. Justin Gaethje, one of the top lightweights in the world, works with him exclusively. Rose Namajunas, the world champion right now in her division, works with him. Kamaru Usman just started working with him a few fights ago, and he is still the world champion in his division. Like, Trevor Whitman has completely transformed some fighters, and I think he's completely transformed Kamaru Usman. This guy's hands, it's different now. It's different now. Like, he always had power, but now he's always had power, but now his striking technique is, like, at another level. What he was able to do to Jorge Masvidal, like, Masvidal is supposed to outstrike Usman. Like, that's what he was supposed to do. Nope. Not even close. When he could do that to Masvidal, he's going to be able to do that to anybody. And I think, you know, he finished Kobe, I think, in the fifth round last time. This time, I think it'll be earlier. I think this time he finishes him quick. Like, he'll beat him in the first or second round. That's the fight to make. I agree it's the fight to make. But I think Kamaru is so much better now than he was in 2019. And he's just going to beat the brakes off Kobe Covington. And I'll be there watching.
You know what?
Kobe, Dave, Kobe has the cardio to – Kobe has the cardio still to – like, I think Kamaru's the better fighter. He clearly won that first fight. I mean, if you break somebody's jaw or injure him enough where it affects him, you've done damage. So props to him. He won that fight, and I think he's going to win the rematch. But if anything, I think Kobe has the cardio to at least, like – make it interesting, go into the later rounds. But Usman also, he's a machine. His cardio is not to be questioned. So, I got Usman also on that rematch.
Yeah, Dave, take a look at that punch. Look at that punch that Masvidal took. That punch right there was it's like you're going to see it in a Hollywood movie. Like, when you want to see, like, a fighter get knocked out with the spit, like, being taken off his face. I don't even know if his mouthpiece flew out. But that was like what we see in like classic like boxing movies. It was all that, man. And that's like with Whitman, like you said, that long punch, that long range punch that he throws. Holy smokes, man. This guy he has it all. He's probably one of the best wrestlers in the game. He's got like strength, power. You know, Masvidal, you know what? Not to take it away from him. He fought well. You know, and he was very classy in his defeat. He was humble. Masvidal, even though he's the BMF, like, champion, man, that guy, he went out with a lot of class. What's going to happen with Masvidal next? I don't know. But the thing is that for Kobe, take a look what happened to Masvidal's face. That's pretty much what's going to happen to him if they fight anytime soon.
Yeah, Masvidal, you don't give much thought on what happens to the loser after the fight, but, I don't know.
People
I think
want Nick Diaz.
Nick Diaz?
Well, that's what I'm reading on Twitter. People would like to have Masvidal fight Nick Diaz to try to avenge Nate. Now, I think Nick has been out of the game for a while, and Masvidal, he's not a championship fighter like the level of Usman, but he's an active fighter, and he's been active in recent years. So I'm not sure it's a great matchup for Nick, but that's what I've been reading a lot on the social medias and all, is like people want to see Masvidal versus Nick Diaz.
That makes sense. I know the UFC was talking about possibly doing Khamzat Chimaev versus Nick Diaz.
Like, fucking UFC want Nick to get destroyed?
Yeah, it's a sacrificial Nick Diaz. Yeah, that's what they're doing. You know, that's what
Diego
they're doing.
Sanchez.
Like that right. Diego Sanchez Donald Cerrone fight got canceled, but the winner of that fight would have been perfect for Nick Diaz.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think Khamzat Chimaev, young, up and coming knockout artist, that's not the guy you fight up against, you know, Nick Diaz, who hasn't fought in 5 years. Like, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't really want to see that. I'd rather see Nick fight a guy like Cerrone or, Diego Sanchez, just on a comeback to see. But I guess that's not what the UFC wants to do. I mean, they're throwing Nate at Leon Edwards. How do you think that's going to go? That's like, what, in 2 weeks? That's on the 15th in Houston, Texas, UFC 262. They're throwing Nate, who hasn't fought in a while, at Leon Edwards. What do you think they're trying to do there? You think they're trying to give Nate a big fight to elevate him to the UFC welterweight championship? Or they're trying to make one of their welterweight contenders a big enough star so that he could possibly fight Usman? You know? I see it as, well, here's Leon Edwards, a guy in the come up who's obviously, you know, riding some momentum. And here's Nate Diaz, a guy who's not a legitimate 170-pounder, who for some reason thinks he is now and is going to take this fight with Leon Edwards. I don't know why, but I mean, I think Nate is in over his head with that fight, because Nate at 170 against legit 170 fighters has been destroyed. Rory McDonald's supposed to fight tonight, guys, for PFL. Remember Rory McDonald and Nate Diaz?
Yeah.
Yep. Isn't he fighting tonight?
But either way, it makes sense still. I'll say it makes sense still because Nate Diaz is a huge star. So if Leon Edwards beats him, that gives him a good rub, where Leon Edwards is already in the conversation for the title. So if he beats Nate Diaz, they could use that as a highlight thing, you know, like the guy that defeated Nate Diaz. And if Nate Diaz beats Leon Edwards, like I just said, Leon Edwards is in the title conversation. So, I mean, that would put Nate in it, man. I don't think Nate has any chance against Kamaru or anything like that, but the fight still makes sense, I think, for the UFC.
I just don't see Nate winning, and I don't see what you do with Nate once he's lost. Like, his value goes down when he loses to Leon Edwards. And the fight with McGregor, albeit still a possibility, is just less enticing.
Yep.
You know, listen, you're just hurting the stock of Nate Diaz by having him lose to Leon Edwards, which I think is being set up to happen. Like, I would love to see Nate win and then, I guess, challenge for the welterweight title. But I think Nate Diaz and Kamaru Usman is a terrible idea, especially after we just saw Kamaru do to Masvidal. I mean, come on. You know?
Look,
I don't
know
believe
what? Nick
it.
Is there.
Leon
People
Edwards right now, minus 450, the favorite. Nate Diaz, plus 300. Seems about right. Sounds like a setup fight.
Well, you never know, man. You never know.
I think it's a decent matchup. Like, I'm surprised the odds are that much. Yeah, I think Leon Edwards being more active and all that should be the favorite. But never know, man. Nate's a good striker, man. If this is a striking battle.
And he's resilient, man. Look, he's resilient, man. He can take a beating. And that's the thing. You got to keep going at him. We'll see. Leon Edwards is his last fight, man.
And that's the type.
He's been out of it for a while.
That's the type of fight.
So, you know what?
That's the Diaz brothers, that's what they want. They want guys that is crap. Leon Edwards is going to trade with him. Like, I expect Leon Edwards to stand up war, and that's what the Diaz brothers like. So we'll see, man. I like the matchup. It's not a bad matchup.
All right. Well, we'll find out. UFC 262, we'll be doing a watch-along for that. That'll be our next watch-along. Whoa, 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 whoa. That'll be our next watch-along, UFC 262. Right here on the channel on May the 15th, which will be a busy weekend for me. UFC 262 on Saturday, and then WWE's WrestleMania Backlash on the Sunday. So,
I want to know what happened to Sanchez, man. What happened with that? He's out?
He got hurt.
With Cowboy? Oh, he got hurt.
So, Diego Sanchez was supposed to fight Cowboy Cerrone next week, but he's hurt and the fight is off. Maybe more important for the UFC, TJ Dillashaw, who was returning after 3 years to main event against Corey Sandhagen. Dillashaw's out too. He's hurt, And his fight was supposed to be next week in the main event. Main event.
That sucks.
So I don't know what they're going to do next week, but they just lost their main event.
That card's not looking good.
No, that card's looking terrible right now. You know, you had Cerrone versus Sanchez, and then you had TJ Dillashaw versus Corey Sandhagen. Those are both really good fights. And the rest of the card, Ben Rothwell against Philip Lins could be good. Angela Hill against Amanda Ribas. Neil Magny, Jeff Neal.
Can
is this the first time between two Neals? Sorry.
I was going to say, can they find somebody on short notice to have Cerrone in the main event against somebody? I don't know, man.
Khamzat. Where's Khamzat?
Yeah.
You know, with Nick Diaz. Yeah. Nick Diaz on short notice to fight Cerrone on free TV. Not going to happen.
So many people have gone missing off the roster this week in the UFC, man. Not only like fights that are coming up, but just in the general roster, man. Names are just gone. It's been a weird week, man.
Woodley Zabit got released, right?
Woodley got released. Zabit is off the roster. Zabit was like one of my favorite fighters, and I'm like, what the hell happened? He got COVID, and all of a sudden he's gone. He's like, he's not on the rankings anymore. I don't think he got released, but I'm not sure. Like, I'm going to have to look into it more. But on the actual rankings, he's not there. His name is gone. So I want to find out what the heck is going on with a lot of these guys. And Woodley, too, man.
Woodley got released.
Okay, look. Yeah, that I know. But the thing is that it's a shame that Woodley got released. I think he still had a couple more fights in the UFC, you know. It's just a shame. It's just a shame. But you know what? We'll probably see him on Bellator. We'll probably see him in the PFL. I don't know. But he'll be there somewhere. He still has a lot of fight left.
Don't think he does. Have you seen his last fights?
No, for sure. We all saw that. Like, you know what? Everybody
not
saw that.
Good.
He's had horrible fights.
Yeah.
But you know what? You know, it's not like...
I mean, if he wants to fight, sure. But, you know, I don't think he's going to reach the peaks that he's had earlier in his career. He's,
you know what he needs?
Nearly
he needs
40
Anthony
and he's not
he
looking
Anthony Robbins.
No, he doesn't. That guy is terrible.
What are you talking about?
Terrible.
Are you crazy,
man.
Dave?
Terrible
had lunch
man
with that guy. He's
who said
best.
Terrible
no,
things to a lot
about
of people.
No.
Really awful man. There's a lot of backlash
it,
against
don't
your guy
it
right now. Nah, really nah awful. AJ's the type of guy to defend all sorts of horrible, horrible people, but we're not going to let him
see,
do
I'm
that.
I'm off Twitter,
here,
so I don't know what you're talking about right now.
Yeah, exactly. Fred, you're off Twitter.
Fred, he's been bad.
You need to get back on Twitter, get unbanned, or just start a new account or something so you could
just
keep up to date
listen
on what's
just
happening.
Listen, just support Biden and you'll be back, bud. You'll be good.
Okay.
Come on, Freddie. Do it. Do it for the ratings.
All right. AJ is a big Biden supporter, so he wants you to join in. I know one guy who isn't a Joe Biden supporter, Dana White. Dana White celebrating
yes,
today that Endeavor, the company that owns the UFC, is now a public company.
Ding,
so
ding.
The UFC now publicly traded, which I think will cause them to be a little bit more responsible. And I wonder how they operate now. I think the UFC is going to have to operate a little differently than they have been. I think it'll be mostly the same, but there may be some things here and there that they're going to have to tweak.
Like what?
But, well, just the way they kind
of... Like what, their salaries of the fighters? Like maybe
no,
goes
no,
up
no,
a little
no,
bit
no
more?
They just have to be a little bit more
public
corporate in the way that they respond, and they have to maybe do a little bit more on the charitable initiatives and stuff like that. Just certain things that I've noticed
at the
WWE.
Charitable, but
huh?
I don't want. I'm all for the charitable, but I don't want the UFC to change. Corporate UFC, man.
Well, I just noticed that, like, Fred, think of the WWF and then the WWE, like when they went public.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, it's a different company now. Like, Vince isn't as wild and crazy. They don't kind of do whatever they want now. I mean, they mostly do, but it's different, right? When you're a publicly traded company, you have to act differently, and I think it's going to change the way Dana White is as the UFC president. I don't know if it'll fundamentally change the way the UFC operates, but I think that there'll be some differences. I don't think it's a huge deal for UFC fans, really, that Endeavor is now public, but I think it might surface in certain situations, you know, that will reveal themselves in time. I think it will make a difference, but I'm not sure exactly how, right?
Are you trying to say something like to Dana White as being like the face of the UFC, like being public?
No.
I mean, you've got guys like Elon Musk that are on the board of directors for like for Endeavor and really with the UFC. I mean, look, I for someone who loves the UFC, I don't need to buy like stock. You know, I mean, it was selling at 24. It ended today at 25, 20. I mean, you know what? It could be interesting. But I don't see what the change is really going to be. I mean, I don't think it's going to be more family friendly because it's a combat sport. I think what I would like to see is that maybe this will like help the salaries of fighters a little bit more. That's what I'm looking at. There's got to be like some incentives by going public, and that'll benefit the fighters.
Yeah, I don't think so whatsoever. The wrestlers haven't benefited,
so
I don't think that the fighters will benefit. I think if anything is going to benefit the fighters, it might be Jake Paul.
What?
How about that?
Are you kidding me? You of all people saying that?
Well, did you see what he tweeted
the heck,
out?
Dave? Eating banana bread there.
All right. Here's Jake Paul's Twitter a few days ago.
Let's see this.
And I could read this for you, what he said.
Yeah, read it.
Take it easy, AJ. My goodness.
I'm just shocked that you're defending Jake Paul.
Dana, you claimed you would bet $1 million on me losing. Set up Askren to train with Freddie Roach, gave him full access to UFC PI, and he still got his ass handed to him. Seems like you are the real douche, not Ariel. Which is questionable. In my third fight, I made more in total pay than any fighter in UFC history. Maybe it's time to pay your fighters their fair share. No wonder they all want to get into boxing. Dana, you say you make the fights fans want to see, so hurry up and make Jones versus Ngannou. Pay them their fair share, $10 million purse for each guy plus pay-per-view. Why are UFC fighters so underpaid versus boxer? Why did I make more in my third fight than all but two, Khabib and Conor, UFC fighters have in history? I know why.
Oof.
Okay? I mean,
man,
I can't.
Bad.
It's weird when the guy that I dislike so much in combat
is right.
Is so right, and I agree with him so much at the same time. Wow.
And he's got a platform. He's got a real platform, this guy. So whatever he says, people will listen. It doesn't make a difference if you're a YouTube fan, if you're a boxing fan, an MMA fan. Everybody's following this guy. And like I said last week, this guy has over 6 billion views on his YouTube channel overall. 6 billion, Freddie. So if this guy is saying something, you know, let's hope it makes a difference. Because the guy, man, has power behind him, regardless, you know, if you like him or not. He's all over the news. Some people can't stand hearing his name. But the thing is that he's all over. Mainstream. Social media, CNN, Fox, whatever, you know what, ABC, Jake Paul is there, man. And you know what? He's right. You know, you got to start paying those fighters because if I'm a fighter in the UFC right now and I'm like, holy shit, this Jake Paul in his third fight has made more money than pretty much some of the elites, not just guys that are getting into UFC, not some of the guys like Cowboy Cerrone who's fought more times in 1 year than some fighters have fought in like 10 years, you know? You're looking at a guy who is not even he's a professional in some sense on paper with 3-0, but the guy is making more money than probably Usman is. He's making more money than John Jones. He's making more money than a lot of guys all underneath. So you're putting a guy like, maybe he would have made more money than George St. Pierre. Think about it. So this is what we're dealing with. And we said this from a long time ago, and I said it. This guy was going to change the face of the game, man, and I'm right on that. And I stood on it because I saw, man, I saw that this guy was going to,
wow.
You know what? I was 100%
right. I mean, you might be right. You might
what?
Be right a, in the end you know, if he does, you know, affect fighter pay in any kind of way. I mean, the fighters are taking notice. John Jones tweeted this out a few days ago, then deleted it. But I have the deleted tweet here for you. John Jones addressing Jake Paul. Jake Paul, congratulations on your victory. That knockout over Ben was absolutely beautiful. If you're seriously making over $5 million for a fight already, that's wild. I'm so happy for you. Wishing you all the best in your combat sports journey. And for some reason, he deleted that. But John Jones taking notice, wishing him well. I'm not really sure why, but there is some John Jones news as well. I don't know if you guys seen this, but John Jones fired his management team. After 11 years with first-round management, Maoki Kawa. So this is what he tweeted on April 23rd to Dana White. "I never discuss wanting $30 million with you or Hunter, Dana White. Just wondering where you heard that number. Is someone speaking with you on my behalf or..." And now, of course, you would figure, yeah, somebody is speaking to John on his behalf, his management team. And then his very next tweet, after the April 23rd tweet, he retweets his management, former management, first-round management, after an 11-year journey as Johnny Bones' management team. First-round management and Bones have amicably decided to part ways. We are proud of him and the work we've done. We wish him the best going forward. Okay, but then Derek Lewis at the same time is saying, yeah, I think I'm getting the fight with Francis, and I think John Jones is out of the picture. UFC seems to be negotiating with Derek Lewis at the same time to take this next UFC heavyweight title fight. So there's something going on. Oh, something going on with AJ, too. I think we lost AJ, Fred. You see that?
Oh, we lost AJ?
I mean, look, it's like a frozen... one-eyed AJ monster who's not speaking. So I assume we lost him. But, I don't know. I'm sure we'll get him back. What do you think's going on with John Jones' management?
With his management, I don't know. If he's changing management, he must not be happy with it. And as far as John Jones' career, right now I'm going to say, unfortunately, the UFC are not going to cave in to John Jones. Right now, the UFC's stance is basically that you have a contract, and the bigger the pay-per-view is, the bigger your payday is because you get some pay-per-view points. I'm of the opinion that if guys are going to reach the next level, these pay-per-view points have to be, like, recalculated. Because, Floyd Mayweather makes $100 million, not by making only $2 off each pay-per-view like basically guys in the UFC have. Like, once a pay-per-view hits, I don't know, 200,000-300,000 sales, the sales after that, man, he should be getting a much bigger chunk. Like, if like the next 300,000 pay-per-views you're giving him $10 a share, that's an extra $3 million, you know. And once you hit a certain level, you've paid all your expenses and all that. So the UFC, they're not going to renegotiate with fighters. They don't want to set that precedent. But that's basically what the fighters need to do. They need to get some type of deal that once I reach this level of pay-per-view sales, I don't want $2 a pay-per-view. Like, I want $10 a pay-per-view. You're selling this $69 and I'm only getting $2 a pay-per-view? This is like, it's ridiculous math.
Yep.
So I think that's the future. Unfortunately, like I say, the UFC won't cave in. So the next heavyweight title fight will be Francis Ngannou against Derek Lewis. And from there, we'll see. Like, we'll see if John Jones plays hardball. He might not be getting a title shot anytime soon.
Or a fight.
Or a fight. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think that they should be giving their fighters a bigger share, especially those top-tier fighters. They should be getting a way bigger share of the pay-per-views. And that's something that's been well-documented with the UFC. Of the top sports leagues in the world, they give a lower percentage of their income, of their profits, to the athletes than pretty much any other sports league. The UFC just doesn't share, you know?
Yeah.
They need to share a little bit more. And you, Fred, saying this is a little surprising. But when even you are noticing this, you know, that the UFC fighters need to get a bigger piece of the pie, workers' rights and all that, you know, then you know there's a problem, right?
Yeah, it's about negotiating the correct deal. But unfortunately, they don't have an option B often. So, you know, they end up taking those deals, and it's going to take a while before it changes.
I think we have AJ back.
Props to Jake Paul for making that much money, man.
What the hell?
If he's making that much, props, Jake Paul.
Yeah. AJ?
I'm back, man. Yeah, I just heard the end. Is he making money, Freddie? He's making huge amounts of money.
Of course, he's making tons of money. That wasn't the question, AJ. Jake Paul's making a lot of money, and he's looking for his next opponent. And, you know, he went to the UFC fishing, I think. He went on a fishing expedition. He thought maybe Usman. Usman denied the challenge. He's like, no, I got real fights to handle. I think Daniel Cormier is like, I'm not going to waste my time with you. Tyron Woodley just got released by the UFC. I think he is an option, which I don't really want to see. I think Jake Paul probably beats Woodley, too. I'd like to see Jake Paul fight like a boxer. BJ Penn, come on, man. I want to see Jake Paul lose. I want to see him lose. Isn't there somebody out there that could beat Jake Paul that's like out there?
But I said that. I said that from like a couple of weeks back. I said, you know what? We got to start seeing the boxing like community start challenging this guy. And you know what? The money's there. The money's going to be made. You got to start challenging him. I'm talking all
if
the
he
top
wants
guys
to fight,
200 pounds.
If he wants to fight,
he's not going
to
want to fight them.
An MMA,
not going
to
want
to
fight.
If he wants to fight a retired MMA fighter who is primarily a grappler in boxing,
you're going to win.
Fight
you're
George. Fight George St. Pierre.
No, you want to
you
know,
fight
with,
I mean,
Freddie Roach?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. George is a ridiculously good boxer. George can still beat up most of humanity, right? So George, like, imagine Jake Paul challenges George. Like, you notice he hasn't said GSP ever. Because George, like, that would be the perfect fight for George right now. Because he's a monster. He's always in shape. He'd beat the shit out of Jake Paul. It would be an easy payday. And, you know, he's got nothing else fighting going on right now, so why not take that fight? But, of course, Jake Paul would never challenge him because the Paul brothers are picking their fights. They're not real fighters. They're trying to pick fights that are easy.
Of course. Well, easy and breezy, man.
Easy fight. Wait, I got to call both of you out, man. I wasn't there last week. Easy fight, man. All I kept hearing was like, oh, Askren is a real fighter. He'll beat Jake Paul. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
now Jake Paul
I said that. You're
knocked
right.
him out. And now it's like, oh, he took an easy fight.
He did.
Freddie.
Because now we know that he's better than we thought he was. He's better than we thought he was.
No. But he's better than we thought he was against guys that, look, if you look at the Ben Askren fight, Ben dropped his hands like an amateur, like, not even an amateur boxer, like a guy who's starting a first day in boxing and they throw him in the ring just to, like, beat the shit out of him. The guy looked horrible. There was no boxing. He walked in there like he was a box. He wasn't boxing. He was walking like a box. It was an embarrassment. He dropped his hands, and Jake Paul probably was training for that one punch that he's knocked everybody out with, that long, heavy right to the temple. That's all you need. He doesn't want to go to distance. But the truth of the matter is that he's bringing eyes to boxing and to MMA in some sense. I'm not saying it's great for guys that really train their ass off to get into the world of combat sports, that bust their ass day in and day out, you know, to get a shot to make a couple of $1,000s at a time. He trains hard, but he's got $50 million that he was able to sign over to fight Conor McGregor, a certified check that was worth $50 million. When a guy has that amount of money, He's got, like, the training equipment,
it's
the training
his
team.
Money he's putting up, guys, silly man.
But it doesn't matter, Fred. Dave, it doesn't matter whose money it is. Most guys that are fighting in, like, in Philly or in New York or even here in Montreal in boxing gyms cannot afford the type of training that Jake Paul can get, getting guys like you name it, man, top-level boxers to come and show him, like, the ropes, to get the top-level trainers to get conditioning that most guys can't. Guys are working
jealous, man.
2-3 jobs sometimes.
Life ain't
I am
fair.
Am I jealous? I'm not jealous. I'm just saying that there's guys out there that don't have the capabilities.
Yeah, but the fact of the matter is this.
They don't have the money.
The fact of the matter is this. He's got all the money in the world. He doesn't have to do anything. And he's choosing to train really hard as a boxer with his time. And you know what? It's paying off because he's making more money. He's pissing people off. And he's somehow winning fights. All this will come to an end at some point. But until then, he is winning. He is successful at what he's doing. And it is kind of smart to, you know, hey, you got nothing else to do. Look, if I had millions of dollars and I had nothing else to do, I'd do jiu-jitsu all day, and I would enter jiu-jitsu tournaments, and then I would challenge boxers. I would challenge Floyd Mayweather to a jiu-jitsu match and see what happens then. That's what I would do. I would train jiu-jitsu all day, and I would challenge strikers to jiu-jitsu matches, and I would beat them, and then I would laugh. Ha, 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 ha. That's what I would
and
do. Sure, why not?
Because they're coming into your game, and that's
exactly.
The thing. A lot of these guys, you had a guy that was a YouTuber that he beat. He beat another guy that was a basketball guy, and then he beat a guy that was a wrestler that has fought in combat sports. But if you have to look at the level of striking, he's probably ranked as one of the worst. And not to take away, but I really, and I say it to Freddie, yes, that I think Ben Askren was going to win. I thought so too, because you know what? You've been in the game with guys that have been great strikers. But the thing is that what I didn't realize, and somebody brought it to the light, and they said, you know what, AJ, let's remember one thing. You took 90% of the guy's skills away. He's left with a 10%. And that's the problem. And I was like, you know what? You're absolutely right. People could say whatever they want, but if this was an actual Vale Tudo street fight, MMA fight, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
Would still be
it wasn't.
Hospital.
It's a boxing
it
match. And there's another boxing match going to happen, and a Paul brother is going to win, and people are going to be even more mad when Logan Paul beats Floyd Mayweather.
And Logan Paul
there
is much
is
bigger
zero
than Jake.
Chance of
he's
that
big,
happening.
He's No, there is a chance. And you know why? Because
that's right.
When
there
Ben
is
Askren
a chance.
Went up against Jake Paul, when Ben Askren went up against Jake Paul, he was about 50 pounds heavier. And
yep.
I don't know about you. I do jiu-jitsu, and I fought guys that were like 250. I fought one guy one time that was 320-something. Big bastard. And let me tell you, it was all fine and dandy till the guy got top game on me. And you know what? It was a bad night. And I'm going to tell you, that's the difference. Weight makes a difference when you have some form of skill. And the thing is that, like I said before, he's training with the best of the best because he can afford the best of the best. You know what I'm saying? He's got, like, everything he needs to be really a very fast-tracked, pretty good amateur boxer. That's what he is. But if he has to fight a real pro in boxing at 200 pounds, in any WBC, they will kill this guy because it's a different game. You could probably knock out people, but if you've never been knocked out,
but we're talking about Mayweather.
Difference.
We're not talking about 190-pound guy.
That's what I'm trying to say. He's
we're
be,
talking about.
He's going to be like.
Can I give you
50 pounds heavier than Mayweather?
Can I tell you that that's not the case, AJ? Because I actually have the numbers. How about that?
Tell me.
I actually have the numbers for the fight and what they're going to weigh in. So it's an exhibition bout. I think it's 6 rounds.
Okay.
It's June the 6th. It's an exhibition. It's Logan Paul, who's 6'2", Floyd Mayweather, who's 5'8". Okay? Logan Paul has a weight limit of 190 pounds, so he's got to make 190. He's got to cut to make 190. Floyd's weight limit is a comfortable 160 pounds, which I think he's walking around at under 160. He's not a big man. And that size, I think, will make a difference. Now, Floyd is 50-0 as a professional boxer, and Logan Paul is 0-1 as a professional boxer. And that should also make a difference. Floyd should dance around Logan Paul and hit him a few times and really avoid any danger and win this fight. But Floyd is also getting older. He's in his early 40s now. He hasn't had a professional boxing match since 2017 against Conor McGregor. He's not the same as he was. Is he still great? Probably, but against a guy who's you know, much younger than him, much bigger than him,
much
and much heavier than him, taller,
much taller,
30 pounds, you know, at least 30 pounds on him come fight night, probably more like 40, maybe 50. That's a lot of weight and a lot of height and a lot of stuff to carry. Now, you know, this fight is also an exhibition. So if Floyd loses, it doesn't really count on his professional record, which seems
matter.
A little
your...
shifty.
No,
you know, of course, it'll stay in the legacy if he gets knocked unconscious. But I don't know what's going to happen here. I'm not really sure. And, of course, at one time I would have said, oh, of course Logan Paul is going to get destroyed, and he should. He should. He really should. But the size difference makes it, like, interesting. And I'm going to say that Logan Paul is going to knock out Floyd Mayweather. I think it's going
to
happen.
Man,
because this world is fucked. Oh, I mean, this world is terrible. Terrible things happen constantly. The bad guy, I mean, this is how combat sports works, man. The bad guys don't lose in the end. Like, the bad guys win. Shitty things happen. Old men
so
that
Floyd is the good guy?
Well, in this instance, he is. But, like, old men, you know what I mean? You've seen old fighters that are really good in their prime come out of their prime and then all of a sudden get beat by guys that have no business even being in the ring with them. Like, this shit happens, and I think it's going to happen again. Like, I got this bad feeling that Logan Paul is going to actually beat Mayweather, and he's going to beat him badly, and people are going to be like, oh, fuck. And a lot of people in boxing are going to lose their shit. It's going to be over
Dude,
for
I'm
boxing.
I'm losing my shit right now hearing you say that. So imagine that.
I know.
Just hearing, you know,
I hope it doesn't
thing
happen.
When you're fighting Ben Askren,
but I got
listen,
a bad feeling.
Thing. Dude, and you know what? I have, like, when you're saying that, it gives me the creeps. And I know guys like Matt Casavant and you know, a lot of guys, you know, Jacques Lemaire that I know here, like, you know, professional boxers in Quebec. And
Stop
like,
name dropping. Get to your point.
Them. No, but what I'm trying to say is that these guys have been in the game, and they tore their butts off to fight professionally. For them to hear a guy like Mayweather is going to lose to a guy who's a jabroni, in a sense, to them,
oh, they would
it's
lose
embarrassing for the sport. Dude, I'm freaking out just thinking about that, seeing Mayweather hit
happen.
The canvas. That happened. Listen, if that happens, I hope not, Freddie. I hope he circles around him, dances through him, and actually, like, beats him so bad that by the time he gets to the six, he just gives up and throws in the towel. But let's just say Dave is right and Mayweather gets knocked out. You know how bad it's going to be for boxing? You know how bad it's going to be for the Mayweather promotions? You know how bad it's going to be for his boxing gyms and every boxing gym out there? It's going to be a war, dude. And that's what's going to happen. Because right now, man, you know what? I think Mayweather made a mistake by taking this fight. You know, he should have saw Ben Askren and said, you know what? The guy is coming down to 190, which is easy. When you're that heavy, when you're at like 200-something pounds, to come down 10 pounds is nothing. George St. Pierre walks around at 190. Fight George, like Dave said earlier. But he won't. This guy's coming down to 190. He's still going to have his power and strength, and he'll probably be in better conditioning. But he's still going to be 30 pounds heavier, man. 4 inches taller than Mayweather, and a much longer reach.
So
the only thing that could
save
Mayweather
about
is that.
We're talking about the shitty Paul brother here. The one that's 0-1. And you're telling me
he's
going to beat Floyd
still.
Mayweather? Man? Come on, man. Please, let's
Listen,
have it.
Man,
man.
I didn't think
man,
man,
what
I
do you mean
anything,
the shitty Paul brother? The shitty Paul brother? Like, there's a good Paul brother? How dare you? They're both
Well, I mean, he's the shittier of
right
the
now,
two.
There is.
I mean, yeah, the shittier of the two.
When an 0-1 boxer who's the shitty Paul brother beats the greatest boxer of all time, watch people's
thing,
heads
man.
Explode, man.
But it won't happen.
COVID has fucked up the world. COVID has fucked up the world to levels that, like, no one would have ever imagined this
That's
shit
right.
3 years ago.
That's
Nobody
right.
Nobody would have imagined Mayweather fighting some guy who doesn't even have, like, an amateur boxing fight. Yes, a professional. I guess they considered it professional. But the real amateurs and real pros in boxing, it's bullshit. But that's the problem. All it takes now is that Mayweather hits the canvas like Masvidal did. And I can tell you, man, it's going to be a bad day. It's going to be a bad day, man. It's going to be bad for business. It's going to be bad for everything. And it's going to be bad for us because that's all we're going to talk about for a whole year about how Mayweather went down. And Mayweather, don't fuck this up, man, because you fucking it up fucks it up for all combat sports.
I'm going to put money on the knockout, too. I'm going to put money on Logan Paul to knock out Mayweather.
Oh, my
Cash
God. This is crazy,
time.
Man. I can't even believe you're saying that. Like, you know, like, I'm getting, like, an ulcer just hearing that.
Good.
Because I'm already, like, upset with Ben Askren being so stupid to drop his arms. And you know what? Look, I can say whatever I want. Ben Askren will beat the crap out of me. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, his boxing skills, I'll probably knock him out myself. I know I'll knock out Ben Askren. Because if he drops those arms like he did, like, why? You should have known better.
But Valetudo, he would better. Smash you, AJ. He would smash
of
you.
Of course
pieces.
He would smash me.
All
he
right,
would turn
let's,
me into, like, it meant me.
Let's stop talking about these ridiculous fights. June 6th, I assume we'll do a watch-along for this. It's not Triller. It's going to be Showtime.
What is it?
It's Showtime.
Well, that's
so
better.
So we can
that's
watch
better.
It. It's We can watch it. It's safe. There will be no Justin Bieber performances. It'll be good. So
no,
we can
no,
watch this.
Attendance.
We'll do a watch along for this, and then when Logan Paul knocks out Mayweather, everybody could call me some sort of evil genius, right? So, UFC Vegas coming up this weekend. It's Dominic Reyes versus Jiří Procházka. I'm a little bit surprised that my man Jiří is not a bigger favorite. Minus 135 right now at bet99.com. Dominic Reyes plus 110, the underdog. Jiří Procházka looks crazy good. Every time I see him, I'm more and more impressed. He's gigantic, 28 years old, 6'3" from the Czech Republic, undefeated in the UFC. He has won now 10 straight as a professional. His UFC debut over Volkan Ozdemir was a knockout. This guy has knocked out everybody that he faces. He is smashing a lot of people. He is an absolute beast. And
he knocked out King Mo, man.
Yeah, I think he might be a future world champion here in the UFC. I'm very impressed with Jiří Procházka. Dominic Reyes coming off a knockout loss to Jan Blachowicz. Before that, a decision loss to John Jones. He actually hasn't won a fight since he knocked out Chris Weidman back in 2019. So it's been a little while for Reyes to get back on the winning pace here. 6'4", 31 years of age, from California is Reyes. I think Reyes is going to struggle with taking the power from Jiří Procházka. I really think that's how the fight goes. Jiří Procházka, smash, victory, knockout, round one, maybe round two if Reyes can survive, but I don't think this lasts very long. I like Jiří Procházka by knockout. This guy is a monster.
Dude, he's a Muay Thai fighter before he ever got into UFC. This guy, man, if you look at his, like, accomplishments, he was, like, UFC, like, performance of the night. You know, here he is in the UFC, and he already gets performance of the night. He was the Ryzen FF light heavyweight champion, and he defended it once. He was the 2015 heavyweight Grand Prix runner. This guy was in the gladiator fighting heavyweight champion. And before that, he has, like, extensive record in Muay Thai. And then he beat up everybody, man. He's beat Oz there, where Reyes actually got a split decision win over him. He's beat C. Holloway. He's beat Fabio Maldonado. And he's beat King Mo. And they've all been by KO or TKO. And that's the difference, man. You know, I agree with you, man. Like, Procházka, man, this guy is deadly. And the thing with Reyes is that when he's fighting, like, a grappler, a guy who's, like, in the clinch and whatnot, who's trying to take him down, he's great at, like, stuffing takedowns. Great at doing that. I mean, his background in football obviously shows that he can do that. He's just amazing. Strong guy. You know that I love Dominic Reyes, but man, he's not fighting a grappler. He's fighting a straight up striker who's coming to knock you out. And that's the problem, man. It's going to be a bad night for Dominic Reyes. I think if you have to put your money on it, I agree with you. It's going to be a TKO, and that's it. It's done.
Yeah, I like Jiří Procházka in a major way. He is maybe my lock of the night here. I don't know if I have a strong lock here. I don't have a good feeling on a lot of these fights, but I very much like Jiří Procházka. I would go with him for the lock of the night to get the victory over Dominic Reyes in the main event. I think Reyes' hand speed won't be able to catch up with Jiří Procházka's, and the power of Procházka will be just too much, man. Procházka's too fast, too strong, too athletic.
And he has
and
a
he's
weird
just
style,
built like
man.
A tank. Yeah, he is a monster.
But he has a weird style. But, like, his striking, if you look at his striking, he's so,
Reyes.
Like, unorthodox, man.
Reyes or Procházka?
No, Procházka. He's just strange in the way he fights. He's got, like, this – he does, like, these striking movements like Anderson Silva would kind of do. It's really hard to figure him out. And that's the thing, man, where you flinch and all of a sudden he's got that, like, that super punch or that super kick coming in. The guy is fast, man. And that's the thing with him. He's very hard to time, and that's why he gets so many KOs. He knocked out King Mo, man. Let's not forget that. And
King Mo also knocked him out.
Yeah,
to be fair.
But you know what? Okay. But the thing is that when you see him right now, yeah, that's totally cool.
Oh, okay.
But the last four fights, he's 4-0, and everybody
has
a bad day.
King Mo's King Mo.
You know? Yeah. Look, George St. Pierre had a bad day with Matt Serra. Everybody can have a bad night in any way.
Well, I think the main point is, AJ, I think the real point is that Jiří Procházka lost to King Mo. It was the second fight of the night for him in a tournament back in Japan in 2015, and he did lose by knockout. in his second fight on the same night. But then he went on to win 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in a row, fought King Mo again, TKO'd him when they just had that one fight, and he won the Ryzen light heavyweight title doing that. And since the loss to King Mo in 2015, which was his second fight of the night, again, first beat Vadim Nemkov, who is a fucking monster, right? Vadim Nemkov is the Bellator light heavyweight champion. And on that night when Jiří lost to King Mo, he had just beat Nemkov by TKO after a 10-minute war of a one round. So, you know, Prohaska has beaten some legitimate guys, and I think he's going to be a world champion. But since losing to King Mo in 2015, he's won 10 straight, and 9 of those 10 are by knockout. You know, this guy is a killer. So I've got Prohaska. I've got Prohaska by KO. Freddie, you going with our man Jiří?
Yeah, I'm going with
Jiří. Come on, Freddie.
And look, the KO makes sense, but I could see also a decision. Dominic Reyes is still a tough guy. Like, he went with John Jones and took a lot of damage. And so, like, he's a hard guy to finish, but I like Yuri's brawlness. Like, he's a tough guy, and if it becomes like a brawl, I think he's going to win that fight. Much more powerful. Reyes likes to connect and move, you know, and I don't know if he'll be able to do that. I think Yuri's going to put the pressure on him.
I like that brawlness. That's a great word. I like his brawlness, his brawlosity.
What?
Angelo dropping the super chat. How's it going, Angelo? Thank you, Angelo, our main man. He is a member of the channel. Don't forget to become a member of the channel. Shout out to Angelo. So it is unanimous. We are all going with Jiří Prohaska for the win in the main event on Saturday night. The co-main event is going to be Cub Swanson in action against Giga Chikadze. That's the co-main at featherweight. Ion Kutalaba versus Dustin Jacoby on this card. Sean Strickland against Christoph Jotko. Marab Dvalishvili against Cody Stamen, and Luana Carolina against Pollyanna Botelho, rounding out the main card on Saturday. Not the most star-studded, action-packed card. The main event is good. Cub Swanson is always fun to watch. He is the underdog, plus 139. Chikadze, minus 172. I don't know, man. Cub, you know, he struggled for a while, but he's won 2 straight and looked really good. But this guy, Chikadze, that he's fighting is good, too. He's won a bunch in a row, but he's never really faced anybody to the level of a Cub Swanson. I feel like there's some value in taking Cub. I wouldn't put him on my parlay, but just looking at it kind of briefly here, I feel like Cub could get the win here. What do you think, AJ?
You know what? Cub Swanson has been in the game for a long time, since 2004. The guy has a pretty still decent record. He's 27-11, 12 KOs. You know, he's if he's able to bring Chikadze down, because this guy has no wrestling, man. He has absolutely no wrestling. What I think is going to happen is, yeah, he's like his wrestling game is horrible, man. It's his biggest weakness, and that's the problem.
But he's Georgian.
Like, it really depends.
They're so good at wrestling.
But
yeah.
Not like this guy, obviously, is not.
He's a karate guy.
Yeah, he's a karate guy. He's a younger guy. He's 32 years old. You know, you got the Cub, who's 37. It's not a huge difference. The only difference is that Cub has a lot of experience. He's been in the game for a long time. He's seen a lot of things. And I don't see him not winning this fight. I don't know if anybody's going to get knocked down. Maybe submitted if Cub brings him to the ground. But this will go distance. And you know what? Cub should win this.
Yeah, that's it. I see Cub as the winner here, but he is the underdog, plus 139. I think he wins. Wait a second. Maybe he does go on the parlay if we're unanimous with this dog pick. Fred, thoughts?
Well, he's on my parlay, so.
Oh! I think we should put Cub Swanson there on that parlay. I like that Cub Swanson pick. We're all picking Cub Swanson in the co-main event, plus 139 over at bet99.com. Bet with us over at bet99.com. Use that promo code ringside and you'll get a matching deposit bonus of up to $600. That's free money for you when you deposit and sign up at bet99.com with that promo code ringside. So you know what, Freddie? You've convinced me. I'm going to throw him on my parlay, and I'm going to give you Dave's parlay. It's a little bit of a Team Canada parlay mixed with Jiří and Cub.
Listen, I don't want to throw a wrench.
It's fun.
I don't want to throw a wrench.
Well, you always do.
The only thing with the only thing with Chickadees is that he's on a 7-fight win streak.
Yeah, but who's he fought?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And if you look at his record, he looks good. He's on a 7-fight win streak. He's won 5-0 in the octagon. He's 5-0 in the octagon. I mean, if you look at his stats, he looks good. But he's fighting Cub Swanson. And I think Cub's experience is going to be able to win this fight by decision.
There we go. So we all like Cub Swanson here. I don't know what this guy, how do you pronounce this guy's name? Chikadze, Chickadees, Chickadeezy. I don't know.
Who's not good at wrestling, go figure.
Giga, I don't know. Jigga, I don't know how do you pronounce his name. KB Buller, I like KB. Underdog fight here, KB, Canadian guy, taking on Andreas Mikalaitis from Greece. KB Buller is, I think he's 0-1 so far in the UFC, but I have faith in him. He's a Canadian guy. And he's got a Muay Thai background. I think he might be related to the heavyweight Buller that also fights in the UFC. KB Buller is a middleweight. The Bengal from Edmonton. He lost his UFC debut to Tom Breeze, who's an absolute monster. But before that, he was undefeated. And I like him to pull off the upset here. I'm going to go with KB Buller, and I'm going to throw him on my parlay. And this will be Dave's parlay here. Let me give it to you. Team Dave, AJ, you can take this down over at bet99.com. I'm going with Jiří Procházka, of course, at minus 135. I like Randa Marcos as well to pull off the upset victory over Pinheiro. Pinheiro 8-1, but really hasn't fought the competition that Marcos is or has fought. So I'm going to go with the veteran Randa Marcos to pull off the upset plus 140. I'm going with KB Buller plus 195 upset as well. And throwing in Cub Swanson at minus 139. That's a $20 bet. $20 parlay gets you $588.85 if you go with Team Dave's parlay. 1, 2, 3, 4 fight parlay. $20 gets you almost $600 over at bet99.com. Team Dave. Procházka, Marcos, Buller, and Swanson. Two Canadians, Cub Swanson and Procházka.
AJ? It's a tough one, man.
You got a parlay? It's a tough one. Freddie had a parlay. Freddie, what's your parlay? Who are you going with?
Go, Freddie.
Tell me.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's finished, man. So right now I have Jiří and I have Cub. So basically it's a two-fight parlay.
That's good.
I'm still analyzing the rest of it, but for right now, it's Jiří and Cub. I'll send it by tomorrow, man.
Take your time, Fred. It's only, you know, we're only wrapping up the show. It's fine.
Take your time, Freddie.
Take your
no
time,
problem,
Fred. Show's almost
it's
over.
It's a tease, man.
Oh, okay. A tease
follow
for
us.
Our Instagram. Follow us on Instagram.
Follow AJ.
No, us, Ringside Report. At Twitter
follow
or Instagram. At Ringside Report.
Man.
To see more of Fred's picks for the weekend, but these are Fred's initial picks, Procházka and Cub Swanson. $20 gets you $83, a two-fight parlay from Super Freddy. AJ, you got picks for me?
Look, I'm kind of like with Freddy. I'm like
great.
Looking at some of the fights I was
forget
looking
it.
Wait, hold on a second. I'm going to go with Jiří. That's for sure. There's,
okay.
I'm going with that. I'm going with Cub Swanson. I'm going to go with Dustin Jacoby on this over Ion Kutaleva.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go with the opposite of what you picked. I'm going with Luana Pinheiro on this one. I'm going with her. I
don't like that.
You didn't convince me of Aranda. I know, bud. I'm going the opposite this one.
Well, she's wild. Her style is very wild. If she lands a big punch, she might get the knockout. But if she doesn't, I think she's going to get beaten. So here's AJ's parlay. Team AJ, Jiří Procházka, Cub Swanson, Dustin Jacoby plus 113, and Luana Pinheiro minus 172. $20 plus 1300 gets you $279. Pretty good parlay from Team AJ. Pretty good, AJ. And that's UFC.
I want you to win money, man.
UFC Vegas 25 coming up on Saturday night. Reyes versus Procházka. And you know what? That's about it.
What?
We're going to go watch some fights right now because PFL 2 is just starting. Emiliano Sordi taking on Chris Camozzi. Gleison Tibau against Zhao Zeferino. Ray Cooper III against Jason Poney, and Curtis Millender in the main event against Rory McDonald. The Red King, Rory McDonald, is back. He has not fought since October 2019. One of the best welterweights in the world. One of my favorite fighters, a legend of the game at this point, Rory McDonald. He's just 31, but he started real young, and he's been fighting forever. You know, I'm a big fan of Rory McDonald. He's been around the guy a lot. Very, very talented fighter, and he's going to be making his return tonight to PFL. That is on ESPN2 out in the U.S. and TSN2 here in Canada. I actually just turned the TV on in front of me, and Sortie and Camozzi are in the first round of their fight. So the PFL is happening right now. They got a big event going on. Last week, Anthony Pettis lost his PFL debut to Clay Cullard by unanimous decision. We'll see how Rory McDonald does here tonight in his PFL debut coming over from Bellator. Also, Curtis Millender's PFL debut. Yes, AJ.
UFC needs back. I've been that for those time. That was like one of the things that tore me when Rory took off from the UFC. He needs to be back. He needs to be fighting in the UFC because most people don't even know who Rory is. Hopefully tonight watching it on TSN and whatnot. But that's the problem, man. That's such a – the guy has so much talent. The guy had everything. I mean, there were people that were saying that at one point he was going to be a greater fighter than George. And that's what it was. People were saying it, and to be honest, he could have been. But, man, you know, he needs to be back in the UFC. If he wins tonight, man, and he wins, like, impressively, and he continues, and hopefully you'll be able to get another contract to come back to the UFC, I'm telling you, man, people will come out and watch this guy.
Yeah, he's, I mean, awesome. I think it would be good to see him fight in the UFC because him against Kamaru Usman right now would be a hell of a fight. But he's also, you know, making money and doing things outside of the UFC and doing well.
Exactly.
He was a Bellator fighter, did well in Bellator. He was the world champion became the champion.
But it's not the Super Bowl.
Isn't it Corey Anderson
that
said basically that he made more money, is it, for Bellator right now than
in
the
six
UFC?
Months.
I mean,
he made more money in 7 years.
Like, I just want Rory to make a lot of money. He's a veteran. He deserves to get paid wherever it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Look,
I think Rory McDonald is a great fighter. And I agree, like, hey, if Rory was in the UFC welterweight division right now, hey, you'd have another contender, and maybe Rory versus whoever would be good. Rory versus Usman would be a real interesting fight. Yes, Rory McDonald is one of the top 170 fighters in the world, but you can say the same thing about a couple of guys right now. You know, what about the guy that beat Rory in Rory's last fight, Douglas Lima? Like, you know, I don't see AJ going crazy about Douglas Lima
going for the
UFC. Like, he's in Bellator.
Hey,
he's doing
right.
well there. Rory's in PFL. We'll see how he does there. He did well in Bellator, you know? Like, I think it's good to have fighters like Rory and Douglas Lima and all sorts of guys, Corey Anderson, outside of the UFC, because then it makes these promotions worth watching and better, and it levels the playing field, and it levels up the talent as well. You know, Curtis Millender may not beat Rory McDonald tonight, but he'll be a better fighter for having fought Rory McDonald tonight. Douglas Lima, you know, he was a great fighter in Bellator. He lost the first encounter with Rory McDonald, came back, fought him a year later, and beat him. He was a better fighter for having fought Rory McDonald, you know, and I think it just, you know, uplifts the other promotions to have these great fighters there. And, you know, if Rory can get paid more outside of the UFC than inside, I think it's good all around. I really don't see a need to have any of these guys in the UFC unless they want to be in the UFC. I think the talent in the UFC is good enough that it's not like, oh, we have nobody good here. I think we're fine. If Rory fought Kamaru Usman,
like Rory,
yes, I would like to see that fight. I would like to see Douglas Lima versus Kamaru Usman. Like, you know, Kamaru Usman, I think, is the best 170 fighter in the world, but there are other 170 fighters that I think would pose interesting challenges to him and maybe beat him. I would probably pick Kamaru over Rory and Kamaru over Lima, but I think I'd pick Rory and Lima over a lot of the welterweights in the UFC. Like, Rory and Kobe Covington today, I don't know, man. I might pick Rory McDonald in that fight. You know, Douglas Lima and Kobe Covington. Like, yeah, I think I'd probably take Lima. I think Lima right now is a monster. Like, Lima and Usman, to me, is like the one fight that probably won't happen that would be really cool to see. That's why promotions should work together and have the best of the best fight each other. But that's not how MMA works, right?
You never know. Maybe that'll happen in the future, Dave. You never know.
That's right. You never know what the future may hold unless you're with Team Dave, in which case you do know, and you can go with my parlay on Saturday night over at bet99.com. Use that promo code ringside when you sign up. Shout out to our members. Shout out to Angelo. You are the super chat leader of the night. He wants to know what we thought on this past Saturday's pay-per-view. Angelo, you can rewind to the beginning of the show and get all our thoughts on at the beginning of the show. We talked about UFC 261. It was a great pay-per-view. We really liked it. We did a watch-along on Saturday. It was a lot of fun. AJ thought it was one of the best ever, but we talked about it at length at the beginning of tonight's episode. I will be back here tomorrow night with Johnny North at 10 p.m. right after WWE SmackDown for Wrestling Uncensored. Hit that like button. Smash it. Destroy it.
Smash it.
Destroy the like button. Hit that like button. Hey, knock the like button out, making so that it can't be hit anymore. Everybody, hit that like button. Subscribe as well. Like I said on Saturday, when we hit 10,000 subscribers, I'm going to give a pair of sneakers away to one of our members. All right? Pair of sneakers.
That's
or
just regular
something.
Sneakers.
Some sort of, yeah, like premium exclusive sneakers that, you know, very hard to find. All right? When we hit 10,000 subscribers,
like a work of art,
one of our members is going to get a really dope pair of sneakers, like really nice. All right, that's how it works here on the channel. Go to ringsidereport.net.